Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading is from Mark 12, verses 38 to 44. Warning against the teachers of the law. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers." These men will be punished most severely. The widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw it in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth just a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all she could live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, family. Good to be back amongst you. And greetings from New Wells, Brabourne. And we've prayed for them and Willsborough, and we pray for ourselves this morning as well. Now, I just need to, before I start, I just need to ask you, somebody told me that the Ashford Baptist Church family had the most amazing sense of humour. Is that right? Oh dear, oh dear. This isn't going to go well then, is it? Because I'm opening with a funny story. So do me a favour, please. If you don't find it funny, laugh anyway. That would be really encouraging to me. And if you find it funny, there'll be another one that comes along in due course. Now, the subject this morning is giving. But I hope to surprise you that it is not what you're thinking. There's a story told about a circus strongman. He had particularly very powerful hands. He was, yes, macho and muscular. And one of his tricks was to take an orange, and in front of the crowd, he'd squeeze it, and the juice would run out, and he'd squeeze it, and he'd squeeze it, and he'd squeeze it until there was no juice left in it. The audience would applaud. He was strong. He then would invite anybody to come up and have a go. He'd produce another orange, and all the strong men in the audience came along, and they took the orange and they squeezed and they squeezed and they squeezed. "Yes, I've done it." And they'd give it to the circus strong man, and he'd go. And drops would come out. No good. And this went on for quite some time, until eventually the audience gave up. And then the hand of a fairly elderly gentleman went up. There was nothing to him, really. And the circus strongman looked at him and thought, "What on earth are you going to be able to achieve?" But he thought, "I'll tell you what, we'll have a bit of fun. Come forward, sir, come forward." And this elderly gentleman wandered up, got up, and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed his orange. And the juice ran out and ran out and ran out. And the circus strongman said, "Wow, okay, give me the orange." Gave him the orange. And he squeezed it, and nothing came out. "Haven't done very well, have you?" And the little old man said, "Can I have the orange back?" And he had the orange back, and he got hold of that orange, that little old man got hold of it, and he squeezed it, and juice came out. Much to the surprise of the circus strongman. And he said, "I can't believe it. Where did you get that power?" "Oh," he said, "it's easy. I'm the treasurer of the local Baptist church, and I know how to squeeze stuff out of everybody." Thank you. Where's your treasurer? Jamie. Today we're going to have a look at giving, as I've said, and I very quickly need to say that the goal of this message this morning is not to squeeze out of you money, to provide you with sound doctrine on giving and all the different aspects of giving, all the different aspects of that word, so that you and I might be good stewards by sharing with one another the blessings we have received. Robert Fulghum, who wrote a book called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He tells a story of a time he placed alongside the mirror in his bathroom a picture of a woman who was not his wife. That's risky, do you not think? However, every morning as he stood there shaving, he looked at the picture of that woman. And the picture was of a small, humped over woman wearing sandals and a blue Eastern robe and a headdress. She is surrounded by important looking people in tuxedos, evening gowns, and regalia of royalty. It was, of course, the picture of Mother Teresa receiving her Nobel Peace Prize. Fulghum said he keeps that picture there to remind him that more than a president of any nation, more than any pope, more than any chief executive officer of a major company, that woman had authority because she was a servant. Now, here's one for you if you're over a certain age. If you're under a certain age, you'll probably have no idea who I'm talking about. In 1970, Malcolm Muggeridge. Does that ring a bell with some of the seniors? I've got a nod. Yeah, good. Okay. He was a reporter, journalist, television presenter, went to Calcutta to do a special documentary on Mother Teresa for BBC TV. On the morning of their meeting, by the way, a morning that would change him for the rest of his life, he met Mother Teresa as she was working out in the streets with sick and poor people in a ghetto, which he described as something the like of he had never seen before. Stench, filth, rotting waste, disease, and poverty, all of which to Malcolm was just unbelievable. That said, what struck him more than anything else, even after experiencing all that awful squalor and decadence, what struck him was the deep, warm glow of Mother Teresa's face and the deep, warm love in her eyes for all she cared for. "Do you do this every day?" Malcolm asked her. "Oh yes," she replied, "it's my mission. It's how I serve and love my Lord." "How long have you been doing this? How many months?" "Months," said Mother Teresa. "Not months, but years. Maybe 18 years. 18 years, exclaimed Muggeridge. "You've been working here in these streets and conditions for 18 years. "Yes," she said, "simply and joyfully. It's my privilege to be here. These are my people. These are the ones my Lord has given me to love." "Do you ever get tired? Do you ever feel like quitting and letting someone else take over your ministry? After all, you're beginning to get a little older." "Oh no," she replied. "This is where the Lord wants me, and this is where I am happy to be." I feel young when I'm here. The Lord is so good to me. How privileged I am to serve him. After that experience, Malcolm Muggeridge wrote this: I will never forget that little lady as long as I live. The face, the glow, the eyes, the love. It was all so pure and so beautiful. I should never forget it. It was like being in the presence of an angel. It changed my life. I have not been the same person since. It is actually more than I can describe. Malcolm Muggeridge went on to give his life to Christ and use his position and public life to promote his faith and his belief. And what of Mother Teresa? Well, she continued to serve in that sacrificial way until the end of her life, nearly 27 more years on. Well, folks, we cannot all be Mother Teresa's. We cannot be, can we? But we can all live in the very same spirit Malcolm Muggeridge witnessed. And in our own ways, we can all learn to give, which is at the core of today's word, giving. Now, my guess is that when you hear that word said on a Sunday morning, we can immediately jump to thinking, oh, hello, here's another sermon on tithing and money. It's another natural reaction. Has the treasurer put the preacher up to giving a word on giving? No, absolutely not. The widow's mite, as we've heard read about this morning, is a story that is often called that, the widow's mite. It's generally perceived to be one about giving of money. However, in the terms of the actual amount, this lady gave what is a mere pittance, less than one penny in today's money. So the point Jesus was making then was not about how much was given, but about the fact that her gift represented all that she had. She gave her everything, which in itself made the reason behind the giving of the obscene rich something which Jesus goes on then to deal with. Now, we're probably all fairly familiar with this story that the Lord gave us here in the scriptures this morning. This poor widow giving everything she's got, the offering at the temple, everybody's coming in to give their offering, and consequently drew praise from the Master of Life himself, looking at this elderly lady, the extravagance of the story that her offering represented all that she had. However, there's another element to this story that most often gets overlooked. Jesus had been watching the Pharisees in their giving practices. Now, we're talking big money here. We are talking big money, and it appears they were quite open about their giving. Everybody knew their giving record. Indeed, they made a point that everyone knew it, and it was in this light that Jesus points out this widow. At the temple, I don't know if you can imagine it, there was this fairly large horn type looking thing, and it was, had a great big opening on it, and then it had a horn that went down, and that's where you came along and put your offering in, and it went down into the pile. That's what they were watching. So you can imagine all the rich coming along with all their throwing it in and the rattle it made as it went down and looking around, hey, look, everybody. I wonder what sound the two copper coins made as a widow popped in, probably unheard, as they slid down. You see the difference? Fantastic difference. And so they're watching. No paper money, of course, in these days. It's all copper, coinage. The louder the noise it makes, then the more that person must have given. And then the story comes to this little old lady, widow lady. She's got these two small copper coins worth virtually nothing. Drops them in the horn. Probably, as I say, no noise. We can imagine, can't we? You can almost see the temple leaders rolling their eyes and really hoping for better results from the next person who walks up to the offering horn. So with everybody having just witnessed the widow's offering, Jesus calls his disciples over and said, come here. You've just seen this. This poor widow has put more in the treasury than all the others. You see, to the Sadducees, this woman was a waste of time. But to Jesus, she was the stuff by which the kingdom was built upon. And so, at its heart, the widow's mite is not a story about giving in the sense of how much. It's a story about the motivation behind the giving. That's the key, the motivation. Remember, I said this message is not about to squeeze out money from you. Hear this. When God has to squeeze out of us praise, squeeze out of us time, squeeze out of us service, and yes, squeeze out of us funds, when he has been so good to you and me, when he has to resort to putting the squeeze on us, there has to be something wrong. That can't be right. Something wrong. And that something concerns the heart. And where ours is when it comes to the time of giving. So let me ask you. Why do we do what we do? What do we hope to achieve by our giving? The Pharisees and the Sadducees gave to receive peer recognition, to achieve and maintain their status. Look at me, I'm putting this all in. How wonderful am I? I'm rich, wealthy, famous, I'm a leader. Woohoo! They received their reward. The people who were observing were, oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Well done. What a leader he is. What a generous person he is. Bigging them up. Giving them unwarranted merit. The widow, on the other hand, didn't give for any recognition, but gave out of love for her God. And according to Jesus, she also received a reward. So this morning is all about our motivation behind giving. Well, I reckon the first motivation for giving is that we have to first give of ourselves. Paul backs me up on this one. When he said to the Gentile churches, first we gave of ourselves and then we gave of our resources. I wonder how many people in churches today give of their funds to in some way compensate for the lack of giving of themselves to their Lord and to their church. There once was a very wealthy man, heads up, another story, potential laugh at the end, all right. There once was a very wealthy man who had never been known for his generosity to the church. Now the church was just about to embark on a big financial commitment and they resolved that Jamie should pay them a visit. When the church leader, when Jamie met with the man that afternoon, Jamie commented that in view of his considerable resources, he was sure... the man said, your contribution to the church project. The man said, I see. So you have it all figured out, have you, Jamie? In the course of your investigation, did you discover that I have a widowed mother who has no other means of support but me? No, says Jamie. I didn't know that. Did you know that I have a sister who was left by a drunken husband with 5 children and no means to provide for them? No, says Jamie. I didn't know that either. Well, sir, did you know that I have a brother who is severely disabled due to a car accident and can never work another day to support his wife and family? No, says Jamie, I didn't know that either. Well, the man thundered triumphantly, I've never given any of them anything, so why on earth should I give you anything? Well done. It's not the response you expected, was it? You see, the man had never given of himself. Therefore, he never gave of his resources. Giving is an outgrowth. It is the inevitable result of a warmed heart. And as we give of ourselves and as we surrender ourselves to God and to loving our neighbor, then we will want to give not only of ourselves, but whatever we have. Give it to him and to his church. Not realizing it, the Sadducees were putting the cart before the horse. As I've mentioned, it is so easy to say to ourselves, I give, therefore I'm a good Christian. Friends, it's just the reverse. It is because I am a follower of Christ that I give. Oh no, and remember this, we have to give hilariously. That's another passage to speak on at some other time. I think the word is cheerfully, but I like to give. Give hilariously. Secondly, our motivation to come to give comes from the heart. Jesus worded it this way, where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. You remember that one? There's an old adage which says, you show me your checkbook and I'll show you what is important to you. Today, I guess we would say, you show me your credit card statement and I'll show you what is important to you today. How much do any of us give to the kingdom of God compared with how much we might spend on luxuries? You see, money is nothing more than congealed personality. It is a barometer of the warmth of our heart and the obedience of our Christian discipleship. A minister once told about a very interesting thing that he did in his congregation on Sunday morning. He said that when the stewards had taken up the offering and brought the bags down to the front, he took the bags and held them up in the air and gave a prayer. Lord, regardless of what we say about you, this is really what we say about you. This is really what we feel about you. Wow. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Our money follows our heart, folks. If our commitment to Christ has not yet reached our giving, then it has not reached our heart. And this principle is true in other areas, is it not? Take stewardship of time, for example. Have you ever noticed how your time follows your interests? We get interested in something and we invest in it, both time and sometimes money. And the number one reason why people say they do not commit to church is that they don't have enough time. How many times? Oh, there, I'm using that word. How many times have I heard that in my ministry? Oh, I haven't got enough time, Pastor. I'd like to come to church, but my diary's just full. The number one reason why people say they do not commit to church is that they don't have enough time. They really mean to do it. Oh, I'd love to come along. I really would. I'd like that, but I'm busy. And yet it's amazing to me how quickly people can clear their calendars for something they actually want to do. Friends, a sermon on stewardship has nothing to say whatsoever to an uncommitted person, but to a believer, it says, Jesus doesn't want our money, not first and foremost. What he wants is our heart and our commitment. And then once we have surrendered our heart and commitment totally to him, everything else falls into place. Everything else falls into place. So first and foremost, our motivation for giving comes from God, and we are to give to him and to our neighbour as we would want to have things given to us. The second motivation comes from the priorities of our lives. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How true is that? How true is that? Where your treasure is. Where is your treasure at the moment? Whatever that is, if it's something out in the world, something in the secular environment, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is here and here. Lastly, third motivation for giving comes from making our Lord happy. Have you ever thought about that? We make God happy. That's what our motivation should be allowed. God loves a cheerful giver, which we can interpret as, I've said, hilarious giver. Principal of a theological college once told the story of a man who commented that he was never coming back to a particular church because all they ever talked about in church was give, give, give. Concluded the principal, I cannot think of a better definition of Christianity than that. Give, give, give. But give with your heart. Lastly, there's a fourth motivation. And that is, when it comes to giving, we must do so not because the church bills need to be paid, but because what we have is God's anyway. And we should be moved by a sense of gratitude. Over my years of ministry, I have witnessed too many times folk giving to their church with caveats, whether it's money or time, stewardship. I only want my money to be spent on this or that. If I pay for the project in total, I want to be recognized for doing so. Can I have a plaque up in the church? I don't agree to that purchase, so I'm not going to give towards it. When I give to the church in any capacity, I don't consider the budget or the benefit or the amount. What I look at first is me. Have I given all of myself to my Lord? Have I given all of myself to my family? Have I given all of myself to my church? And when I survey all that has happened to me, and you as well, all over the last few years, I realize that it is all because of God's blessing. What we are and who we are and what we've achieved is because God has blessed us. I gave up my old life because God helped me see that he deserved it. I felt so much God wanted me to follow him and serve him in church families, to give to the community, to give of my faith, my love, my time. Folks, you know that there is so much more fulfillment for that sort of giving. So to conclude this morning, I hope that you can see that when it comes down to giving, It is not about how much. It is about the motivation behind it. Far too long, I think, in Baptist churches particularly, the appeal has been, we need money to pay the bills. And when church families give on that level, I believe that they miss the great joy in giving. Friends, when we give in any way, shape or form, whatever that might be, love is no longer just an idea. It is an action. Think of it this way. Man's law says, you cannot give what you do not have. God's law says, you cannot keep what you refuse to give away. God of grace, I turn my face to you. I cannot hide. My nakedness, my shame, my guilt are all before your eyes. Strivings and all anguish, dreams, in rages lie at my feet. And only grace provides the way for me to stand complete. And it is your grace that clothes me in righteousness, and your mercy covers me in love. Your life adorns and beautifies. I stand complete in you. Are you able to say that this morning? Are you able to say that this morning? Are you complete in him as you should be? Well, you now know what the answer is. Give yourself wholly to the Lord. Make your giving, whatever that might be, truly from the heart. And know that when we do that, how pleasing it is to our Lord. How happy we have made him. Oh, and can I just remind you, whatever your giving is, please, please give it cheerfully. With a smile on your face. Because of what the Lord did for you and me at Calvary. You know what he wants. You know what he wants you to do and how he wants you to be for now and forevermore. So what say you? What say you? In any approach to your giving in future, see what your heart says first. And take it from there. And God will be happy with us all. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. Giving is not necessarily something that we talk about very much. But Lord, thank you for your word this morning, which encourages us. And as we give, let us always remember the widow's mite story. And the message from that. She gave all she had from her heart because she loved you so, so much. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.